welcome to a brand new Retro Raw Rundown. My name is Kenny McIntosh, and I'm joined here by Sondra, Ruth, Russell, Dyke, Kynstein, Cowboy, Stowe.
That was a new one.
So here, I'm just going to lay it out to you people. We have a very limited amount of time. This is probably only going to be a half hour episode of the Retro Raw Rundown, but we wanted to get one out to you this week. Sondra has to go to Shikara today.
Yay! I'm so excited for Shikara Day!
I really wanted to give some brief thoughts on Raw and SmackDown from this week, but what I'll do is I'll just do that on next week's podcast so that I don't take up time from today. But what I will say is, to the people who think that the hot potatoing thing with Sasha and Charlotte is bad, I would like to say that I hope you never, ever in your life say that the Attitude Era was good. Because that's all it fucking was. You pieces of shit. Like, The Rock and Mankind, they traded the same belt for 4 months and Mick Foley became a bigger star. In 2000, The Rock and Triple H traded the same belt for 3 months and Triple H became a bigger star. Shut up, enjoy it, move on. Anyway.
I concur, for the record.
Oh no, but it's not the same because the women aren't established yet. Well, they're being fucking established!
That's exactly what they're doing, they're being established. And it's really funny how some of these criticisms wouldn't necessarily apply if they were men. But oh, whatever, no, but, I digress.
But there's no story here. There's no story that Charlotte beat Sasha and almost killed her. There's no story that Charlotte's never been beaten on pay-per-view. There's no story that Sasha is trying to beat her and they're equal all the time. And Ric Flair got cut to the curb by Charlotte and now he came out and endorsed Sasha. Blah, 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 blah. Story, story, story.
Anyway. Oh boy, that sounds kind of like a story to me. Interestingly enough.
You can't tell long-term stories. You're not allowed to do that because you know why? We miss long-term stories. Fuck off.
Oh, it makes me happy that you agree with me because that cards on the table here. Kenny and I have not discussed this at all. I didn't know this was coming, but it just makes me really, really happy.
And just FYI, people that were listening, David, I'm not paying for any of your heart surgeries. Sondra, I would have given Raw an 8 out of 10. And
we really?
It would have been an 8 out of 10.
Yes!
So, Retro Raw, December 2nd, 1996, that is the show we're talking about. There's not a huge amount to talk about this week, so...
It's a good week for it to have to be shorter.
It is, and plus I'm going to have to minimise my ranting on the Karate Fighters thing, which is absolutely going to be a rant.
But anyway.
So let's kick off the show. It's episode 187,
yes.
As far as I'm aware. Yes, okay, I got it right this week. Okay, cool. 187 is the episode... I feel like maybe just this whole series of Raws that was taped at this venue are just going to have the cold open. Maybe that's just what it is.
Yeah, RIP the intro.
It will return. We got Pyro, Sondra.
We did get Pyro.
Pyro all over the place.
And Vince McMahon didn't sound like he was going to come over the fireworks this time because he was too busy dancing to Flash Funk's music. And oh boy, like when I sat down to watch this again last night, because I watched it last week and it had been a while since I watched it. So I needed to watch it again, take some notes. They're a bit sparse. I have Chikara on the brain. But I turned it on, and I intended to not really, like, pause and do super intensely detailed notes like I usually do, right? I couldn't help transcribing this first conversation between Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler, because...
So, let me set the scene here for people who maybe haven't watched this episode yet and are listening to us first. So Flash Funk comes out. This is his Monday Night Raw debut. But before we go into Vince and Lawler, I want to just ask you, this is the second time you've seen Flash Funk.
It is.
What are your thoughts on the gimmick and of his dancing?
So, before we talk to Jim Cornette, I didn't realize that Flash Funk was Too Cold Scorpio. Now,
what
knowing...
What a way to have that broken to you.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, what you didn't know and what I didn't tell you is when we were talking to Jim Cornette and he was talking about Too Cold Scorpio being Flash Funk, I am actually mouthing to myself silently going... What the fuck? Flash Funk is Too Cold Scorpio? Why in the world would they make Too Cold Scorpio just a dancing black man? Why would they do this? In what universe does this make sense?
Can I introduce you to Vince McMahon, please?
Yeah, that's the problem, right? And so, like, I'm just, as I'm watching this and as I'm watching his entrance and everything, I'm like, oh boy, do I agree with Jim Cornette on this issue. Why in the world would you do this? This makes no sense whatsoever. Like, I know that you love the Flash Funk song and everything. It's not, like, that great. It's fine. But
it's one of the top five theme songs in this era. I mean, give me five that are better on this in this current roster that you've been watching.
Psycho Sid.
Right.
The Stalker.
No, fuck off. That is not better music. You are using your stalker biasness.
I love the stalker music. The women scream in it like he's going to kill them.
I love that Sondra is going against her entire philosophy of feminism and fandom to love a theme song where women are potentially being raped, pillaged, and murdered.
I'm just saying that it makes sense the stalker's for the stalker. Amusement. The babyface stalker, by the way. I'm falling in love with the stalker again. I can't. I've had my heart broken.
Oh, that fucking mustache.
I know.
Anyway, I love about Flash Funk's dancing is... Like Flash Funk can't really dance.
No, he can't at all.
Hence the Funkettes.
Right. No, like, there's a reason that this reminds me of Brodus Clay, because it's, like, the same thing.
Only Flash Funk can wrestle.
Exactly. That is the difference. And also take risks. He takes risks like nobody else. But seriously, Vince McMahon should never, ever, under any circumstances, try to dance with Flash Funk's dancers. It's,
I always remembered the Sunny Dance at Survivor Series. That's always, like, ingrained in my memory. Of just
this
Jim
is
Ross
so absolute... much worse.
Yeah, but, like, so here's the thing. I didn't get Sky where I could watch Monday Night Raw until, like, June of 97. So, like, all the stuff that's on these shows, I've seen parts of it on recap shows and, like, Livewire and stuff. But, like, I've not seen... Like, I don't think I've ever seen the Funk and Goon match or anything. So, like, some of this stuff is new to me as well. I hadn't seen Vince McMahon dance to Flash Funk before. And, oh, my God. My exact notes here are... Vince dances along. Dear God, Lawler is again the voice of reason.
Seriously. Seriously. Because Jerry Lawler says... How can you listen to this, McMahon? Because, of course, Jerry Lawler apparently hates music, as we find out in this episode. Like, he doesn't like any music, because later on, he doesn't like Jesse James' song either. But it's like, how can you listen to this, McMahon? And Vince McMahon's response to this is, come on, King, shake that thang. Not thing, thang. He says very specifically thang. Vince should never, ever say this. And Lawler's like, what are you doing? Come on, King, shake the booty. The booty, Vince McMahon says.
Vince is so gangster.
Oh my freaking goodness. And then Lawler's like, you call that music? And Vince goes, come on, get funky. I call that getting funny. And then Vince is like dancing. He's like, yeah, I know that's right. Yes, sir. Whoa, knock my socks off. My goodness. He says knock my socks off. Vince McMahon here in 1996 sounds like he is 87 years old.
The best part is, though, what you didn't mention is in the context of the bit of the song goes, it goes like, Flash Funk, And, like, when it does the that's when Vince goes,
Yeah, like, I know, that's right, yes, sir.
But the difference of, like, the melodic of, like, these women who are, like, professional singers to Vince's gravelly shite is so beautiful in how bad it is. But yeah, Lawler's the voice of reason. So do you want to transcribe a little bit of this to the lovely listeners?
What, Lawler?
I thought you said you'd written down Vince.
Yeah,
Lawler's.
I was just saying what they were saying.
I forgot if there's anything else. But
yeah, he goes, Lawler goes, careful, McMahon, you'll knock your toupee off. You know, after he says, knock my socks off. Careful, McMahon, you'll knock your toupee off. And then Vince just goes, yeah, that would be funky. Nadine and Tracy, the Funkettes, along with Flash Funk, kicking things off tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on Monday Night Raw. Like, what? Vince, does he even listen to what people are saying to him at all when he's on commentary?
No.
He doesn't. He's terrible. Mr. Sondra was watching this. I made him watch this whole conversation between Vince and Lawler. He goes, there is no one to root for in this conversation.
And the sad thing is, if you were going to pick one, it's probably Jerry Lawler.
Probably. Although Jerry Lawler's kind of insinuating, oh, I hate black people music. But, you know, he also hates white people music later on.
Yeah, he's got equality good on.
gosh.
Flash Funk faces off against the Goon.
The Goon's boots look like ice skates, Kenny. Like, I've been harping on this all week, but the Goon's boots look like ice skates, and that's really most of what I have to contribute about this match.
Well, I have one thing. Vince McMahon decides... Now, here's the thing. I want to just clarify. I think Too Cold Scorpio is a great wrestler. genuinely. I think he's a very good wrestler. But as Flash Funk, he was the drizzling shits. But Vince McMahon sees fit to compare Flash Funk to Shawn Michaels.
To Shawn Michaels.
Now, here at the Retro Raw Rundown, we are not the biggest fans of this era of Shawn Michaels.
No.
However, even we can say, what the fuck are you doing comparing your apparent top babyface, who is like legitimately one of the best wrestlers of all time, to a Rick James knockoff?
It's baffling. It's absolutely baffling. Especially when you see Shawn Michaels' inset during this match, because they keep cutting back to Shawn Michaels in the studio because he's going to be giving an apology later on. And I just did apology in air quotes because what even was this promo later on? But they show Shawn Michaels and he does this weird cheesy grin and like waves. Shawn Michaels, brought to you by drugs, ladies and gentlemen.
Pretty much. I will say I did like the kind of moonsault leg drop that Flash Funk did. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, his flippy leg drop finisher deal that he uses to finish off the goon.
I thought he was going to legitimately like break his leg, but apart from that, it was lovely. And then there was a brief clip of Steve Austin hitting Sid with the belt in London, but we'll talk about that later because they kind of go into it. Big style later on, but they, you know, showing clips from this London show that they did. It might not be an interesting fact, but nonetheless, 1996 was the only year the WWF visited the UK one time, rather than the usual two or three. This was the kind of tough years money wise. So they just did two shows in late 96 in London and Birmingham. They didn't really do anything else. So there you go. Jim Ross is back in commentary though, and he says, I can't remember, you'll probably remember better than me, Sandra, but like he says to like Lawler's talking to him, Lawler's like, have you been listening? JR's like, yeah, I've only heard four what a maneuvers.
And two, I know that's right so far tonight.
Yeah. what do you think of they did the promo for the Royal Rumble of George and Adam trying to get to the Royal Rumble?
Are
any
these people like people, or are they just dudes in a commercial? Like, are they someone that we're supposed to know?
Well, you know, have you ever heard people talking about a guy who does all the video packages in WWE called Adam? Shawn Michaels referenced him in his retirement speech. A couple of guys have referenced him at the Hall of Fame. Anyway, that guy is the ginger guy in this, Adam.
Oh, okay. Is he the one that needed to go to the bathroom and has to wait 7 months?
No, that's George.
That's George, okay. Yeah, what even was this commercial? Like, do they not understand how guaranteed seating works? You're not going to lose your seat for the Royal Rumble. Like, they sell seats with...
Then here's... I need you to explain this to me, Sandra, because I don't quite know what happened here. So we get Diesel, who looks to be in the best shape of his life. You know, it's... I mean, watching him here and then watching Kane now is just... Whew. It's
Although I feel like Diesel is trying not to move to try to emulate old Diesel. Like, it really looks like he's holding himself back. Because it looks like he could move like a regular person. But is like, no, Kevin Nash really couldn't. So I need to try and be as stiff as possible when I hit the ropes.
This is true. And I think he succeeded. I need you to answer this question for me. So they have Phineas in the ring with his stupid, shitty dubbed music, which still annoys me.
I knew it would.
But then we get shown a clip of Tiny Tim from 1993, and I don't know who Tiny Tim is.
I was going to ask you who Tiny Tim was.
You're American, you should know who he is.
This was 1996. This clip is from 1993. I wasn't watching wrestling, Kenny. I don't know who this is. I have no idea. But apparently he did die right before this.
Oh, is that why they've shown him?
Yeah. Because that's the whole thing throughout the night, is Jerry Lawler and Vince are talking about Tiny Tim. And Vince says, you know, something condolences, or talks about how Tiny Tim died. And Lawler's making jokes the whole night. Like, I mean, later on he says that Jake the Snake Roberts looked like Tiny Tim there. Ha ha! Because he's dead. Because a man is dead.
So Tiny Tim died on the 30th of November 1996. So apparently he was an American singer, ukulele player, and musical archivist, according to Wikipedia. And he is best remembered for his rendition of Tiptoe Through the Tulips, sung in a high falsetto voice.
Oh, I know that song. That's that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So yeah, apparently he died, and this is hilarious to Jerry Lawler. I don't know, it continues throughout the night. Like, he says something at one point in this match, Tiny Tim couldn't sing and Phineas can't wrestle.
The guy just died!
He just died! A legitimate dead man! And they're just mocking him on commentary openly. Because apparently Lawler had a feud with him in a segment in 1993.
Yeah, but he broke his ukulele.
Yep. I got nothing. Like, I don't...
Yep, nor me. Then Diesel beats Phineas with the jackknife.
He barely gets that jackknife.
Oh, it is one of the worst jackknives I've ever
Vince
seen.
Vince is like, look at the power on Diesel. Ooh, boy. It's not pretty.
It's bad. So, but Diesel gets a victory, Sandra.
He does get a victory. Razor Ramon came to ringside at one point, and
he assisted.
He did, yep. He
did assist. No, which begs the question, where the fuck was Henry Godwin?
Yeah, it's real true. No. I mean, are we just starting the trend of babyfaces being the worst friends ever?
He's not Roman Reigns, don't worry.
That's good. No, Shawn Michaels is Roman Reigns.
To be fair, Shawn Michaels is actually a better friend than Roman Reigns, which shows you how bad the Roman Reigns character is. Shawn Michaels' shirt is absolutely fucking fabulous.
It is.
What a shirt this is.
Quite something with its stripes.
That is a great Christmas shirt, you know?
Mr. Sandra was like, does he think he's a candy cane?
I liked it. I thought it was good.
It was so 90s. It made me smile. It looked like Zach Morris should be wearing it.
Maybe heat me in. It looked like Zach. Actually, Shawn Michaels seems like when Zach Morris grows up, that's who he would turn into.
That actually makes a good deal of sense because Zach Morris is kind of a sociopath.
And then Vince McMahon is Mr. Belding.
Yeah. We've cracked it.
We cracked the code. Shawn Michaels apologizes for not being defensive enough. Blah, 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 blah. He's going to beat Psycho Sid. Da, 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 da.
He says he will take risks like no one else in the World Wrestling, or like no one else in the World Wrestling Federation, because he is slurring all over the place. Because like it or not, I am a man's man. And I'm like, wait, what about Flash Funk? Vince McMahon just told me earlier tonight that Flash Funk takes risks like nobody else. What do you have to say to that, Shawn Michaels?
And also, just to clarify, he doesn't go on to take risks that people have never seen before. So he's lying.
Yep.
Lies. Up next is Sondra. Well, I'm just gonna write down my notes here. Jesse James sings his theme. Sondra explodes with joy.
Yay! Can I just say that Shawn Michaels, I just have one more note on this. When sure. He talks about his hair, his long hair, his tattoos, and I got my belly pierced, and he's a man's man, and like...
I still don't understand, like, a man's man. I don't understand the idea of that statement.
Shawn Michaels is an incredible gay icon. Except maybe not in that shirt.
Yeah, he's anyway.
But yeah, Jesse James sings his theme to the ring, and I was so excited. And yes, I sang it along with him, and yes, I was so excited. Did you notice that it was Jesse Jammies? Is his name always spelled with two M's?
No, this is just a kind of a thing for now. I think it's actually a misspelling on the thing, because I don't remember it being Jammies.
Really curious if he was supposed to be like Jesse Jams, like we're jamming to the music or something.
I think, again, you're just making your own stories.
Probably.
What I will say here is you were probably more excited than anyone in the arena.
Probably. Yeah, they didn't care at all.
Nobody gave a fuck.
I think they were trying to find someone in the crowd who cared on camera, and they found someone who was like mildly clapping because they thought they should.
Yeah, they found a couple of people who stood up. Out of intrigue.
That's were they intrigued or just standing?
Bored. Yeah, I don't know. And then he faces off against Justin Hawk Bradshaw, who looks like the angriest man alive as he walks out to the ring. And he is accompanied by Uncle Zebekiah, who you know, Sondra.
Yeah, I was not expecting this.
I was not expecting
Zeb Coulter to be out there with Justin Hawk Bradshaw, who now I feel like I'm just going to call JBL JHB JBL. Like, he's Justin John Hawk Bradshaw Layfield. And his Twitter is at JC Layfield. Like, what are his actual initials? No one knows.
No one knows. We will find out when he goes in the Hall of Fame one day for being a long-term employee.
Yeah, basically.
Because that's his criteria. And then Vince McMahon says about Uncle Zebekiah, WWF's answer to Yosemite Sam.
Because WWF needed an answer to Yosemite Sam?
And also, that's all you can say about Uncle Zebekiah.
That's it. Like, I don't have any idea what they're... Is he supposed to be Justin Hawk Bradshaw's uncle, then? Or is he just a general uncle of the world?
But he gets involved here, and he helps... I was going to say JHB. This should sound like drugs.
it does.
He helps old JHB.
Give some to Shawn Michaels.
I think he's got enough.
Yeah.
But in the end, Bradshaw ends up getting the victory because Jesse James has his foot grabbed by Zeb. And then when he lets go, he walks into a clothesline, which we would now know as a clothesline from hell. Bradshaw wins. I was kind of shocked here that Bradshaw won the match. And
I was expecting Jesse Jammies to win the match because, you know, he just came on the scene. He's singing himself to the ring. I love him. I love him so completely. He also, Annie Hayes pointed this out on Twitter, and it's so true. And so for comic nerds out there, he looks like Nighthawk with his gear the way it is, because it looks absolutely like that. And I'm so excited when she pointed this out, because now that's all I can see.
Yeah, it's something. So yeah, I mean, this was fine. But I'm gonna turn this over to you, because I don't feel like I should be the one to have this impassioned speech. I feel it should go to you, Sondra. The Milton Bradley Karate Fighters Tournament takes a turn.
Oh boy, does it take a turn. Karate Fighters has turned heel on my heart. I do not appreciate it. So we were supposed to have Mr. Perfect versus Psycho Sid, right? And of course, what am I so excited about? Mr. Perfect versus Psycho Sid. Now, we know that there's some sort of drama with Mr. Perfect. I was going to ask you, have they, because I don't remember at this point in the morning, have they referenced Mr. Perfect not being there on TV? Because I thought that they just hadn't mentioned it.
They mentioned it in a veiled way at Survivor Series by like using Perfect as a pun a couple of times. But they've not mentioned him by name in any way.
Right.
Or on Raw. Maybe they have on Superstars and I've just not seen it. But as far as I'm aware, they've just kind of acted like he's disappeared.
Right. Because here, Todd says that ever since Hunter Hearst Helmsley got the better of him, Mr. Perfect won't show his face. And there's like, wah, noises in the background as he's saying this. So clearly, they are not too fond of Mr. Perfect at this point. And they play like weird baby noises and stuff, and I was just wondering if the story was they had a falling out and I just didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe,
because I mean, I know in real life what happened, but
maybe they just made a statement on Superstars or something saying that if Helmsley fired him or something like that, or was using him to get the championship, maybe that's what it was.
That could be like the amicable split between Sonny and Farouk, how it just like, no, oh, this happens.
Exactly. Although it's funny that in 1996, when they try to like give you just a tiny bit of explanation, it's like more than we get now for some storylines.
Yeah, that's real true and real unfortunate. But yeah, so Todd Pettengill is saying, you know, ever since Psycho Sid became master and ruler of the world, now that he's master and ruler of the WWF, he just shows up when he wants to, but the champ has been replaced by the king. And then Todd's talking about Mr. Perfect not showing up and da-da-da-da-da. But there's a new Mr. P in town. No, not a new Mr. Perfect. There's a new Mr. P in town. And at this point, I went, oh, for fuck's sake, it's Todd Pettengill. And he goes, Mr. Pettengill! So instead of Psycho Sid versus Mr. Perfect, which would have been amazing, we get Todd Pettengill versus Jerry the King Lawler in Karate Fighters.
Now, here's my question. And I did write down biggest disappointment ever to this, just to clarify. Who were you rooting for, Todd or the King?
I was so bereft, I didn't know what to do.
But who would you, who, now with a little bit of time to sort of, you know, calm down and cool off, who did you want to advance out of Todd Pettengill and Jerry the King Lawler? Bearing in mind that whoever wins
is going on to face Sable. I was probably rooting for Todd Pettengill so that Jerry Lawler wouldn't have to talk to a woman.
That's a fair argument, but we now, and we'll, your wish was not granted because
it was not
King,
granted. Jerry the King Lawler is going on to face Sable, which is probably the more entertaining option.
It is. Yeah.
Psycho Sid. Why are they trying to crush all of my dreams when it comes to Psycho Sid in Karate Fighters? He didn't get a promo before his last match, and then in this match, he just isn't even there.
To be fair, though, he is the World Wrestling Federation champion.
Well, yeah. Which means he could also be the Karate Fighters champion. He could be champion of two things.
He could. You've won me over with your argument, Sandra. I can't argue with you anymore. You're correct. I just want to say I love the London clips that they showed, because I'd never saw it as a kid. But here's just the... I just want to give this as a perspective on the story that is told here in a two-minute clip. Here's what we get. Austin costs Sid a match by smacking him in the back with the WWF title because he's pissed that he's not the number one contender. The Bulldog runs in, because it's in the UK where he's going to get a big pop, to get revenge on Austin for what Austin had did to him after the Bret and Owen match last week. Bret returns the favour to Bulldog by pulling Bulldog out of the match and stopping him getting beat up from Austin. Owen Hart takes Bulldog away because he doesn't like Bret and Bulldog helping each other out. Austin then attacks Bret because he hates him. And then Crazy Sid takes advantage and does a chokeslam.
Yep.
In less than 2 minutes, all of that happened.
And they all get the little promos. You know, Davey Boy says he has his reasons. And Owen doesn't, you know, Owen's like, don't worry about having a problem with Stone Cold. Don't worry about Bret. They'll beat, we need to worry about Razor and Diesel and we'll beat them. And da-da-da-da-da. So there are so many different stories all in play. And multiple champions kind of facing off and whatnot. It's really, really cool.
Yep, and I also thought it was interesting that, you know, the UK was a big territory for Bret Hart when in the 90s. He was very popular here. So it was interesting that when, you know, Sid was cheered so much going against Shawn Michaels, but against Bret Hart, it's not really the same. You know, people aren't as willing to want to see Bret be powerbombed or chokeslammed. So it was an interesting...
Well, I mean, people didn't want to see... Yeah, that's true, because Shawn Michaels is a terrible babyface.
Yeah, like, we never knew we wanted Shawn Michaels to be killed until he was killed. We were like, yay! So yeah, that was the story from London. I want to ask you a question. Talk to me about, you like tag team wrestling, don't you?
I love tag team wrestling.
Okay, I want to ask you about two teams here, and I want you to just give me the full explanation of your opinions on them as a team, how they mesh, the aesthetic of them together, and all that. So first of all, let's talk about Billy Gunn and Hunter Hearst Helmsley, future DX running mates. What do you think of them as a team?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting knowing that they end up being in DX and that Hunter Hearst Helmsley is already kind of using Billy Gunn here, right? Because he keeps tagging out and hiding behind Billy, and they're just so blonde.
They are blonde.
I mean, like, I really have very few thoughts about this main event because every time I turned this Raw on to watch it and then got to the main event, I fell asleep.
Well, what I'm fascinated by is the pairing of the Wild Man Mark Mero and Jake the Snake Roberts.
What even?
They do not go together.
No, not at all.
You have the Little Richard tribute act with a cocktail singer and a drug addict.
Yes.
A topless drug addict.
Yes. I mean, Jake Roberts looks rough.
Jake Roberts this is the genuine truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna delve into my personal life a little bit here. My mother, who is a lovely woman, was adopted when she was a child. And when I was about 10 or 11 years old, we went in search of her birth mother. And we ended up finding her And we went to visit her a couple of times, and she lived in a very sort of low rundown, sort of poverty-ridden part of Scotland. And when we went to see her, she had no teeth, a bulbous nose, and she was a chain smoker. She looked better than Jake the Snake Roberts does here.
Yeah,
and Jake Roberts was like, Jake Roberts was like in his early 40s. Actually, wait a minute. I just want to get this information before we finish. So talk about the match a little bit while I get this.
Oh gosh, what to even say about the match? I wasn't prepared for this. Well, instead of talking about the match, I can say that Jerry Lawler on commentary actually is kind of funny here because Sable's on the outside, right? And she's cheering on Mark Miro and doing her Sable thing. And Jerry Lawler just can't stop mentioning the fact that he's going to beat Sable in Karate Fighters next week. And so that amused me quite a bit because apparently like the Karate Fighters tournament is very important to Jerry Lawler now that he's been reinstated into the Karate Fighters tournament after his cheating ways last year, which I thought was interesting that he got, you know, reinserted into the Karate Fighters tournament after being banned for cheating. So apparently the rules for cheating, all you have to do is, you know, knock somebody else out and then you're fine again.
This is true. Yeah, the match wasn't really much.
I mean, it was fine. Yeah. It's just there's really very little to say about it.
Yeah, two things just to note during the match. We're getting the blow-off between Undertaker and Mankind next week, no holds barred, which will be good. Double J challenged Zeb and Bradshaw to a handicap match next week, and then he said, the real deal, I don't mean Holyfield, I mean Double J. What? you're a bad lounge act, and you're saying you're better than the biggest boxing star in the world?
He has confidence, Kenny.
Oh, Jesse Jamis, what are you doing? Billy Gunn walks out. Mark Merrill hits the Wild Thing. He's still got the ponytail that drives me mad. He hits the Wild Thing for a 1-2-3.
Yeah, he kept Sable the ponytail in the whole match.
Sable emits a bit of emotion, so I will give her that. She did do a bit of emotion.
That's true.
So, what age do you think Jake the Snake Roberts was here? Just in your head.
I think they've said it before. He's not much older than Bret Hart, is he?
At this point, right, like I want you to 40 all...
40-something.
I want you all to look at Jake Roberts in this episode. Jake Roberts in this episode is younger than Matt Hardy is today.
That's insane.
Jake Roberts is 5 years younger in this episode than Chris Jericho is right now.
Is he 40 then? Or 41?
He's 41.
See, that's so crazy. Because I remember thinking in a previous episode that we did that like Bret Hart at this point is 40, right? Look at Bret Hart and then look at Jake the Snake Roberts.
Bad paper end.
I mean...
Oof.
It's not good.
It's not. So yeah, I mean, it was fine. Where is your thumb for this episode of Raw?
Probably in the middle. I mean, it's not like it was bad, and we got the Goon's ice skate boots.
Yeah, for me, it was in the middle. I think it'd be quite difficult for me to do a full thumbs down most weeks because it's only a 45-minute episode. It's usually quite quick. You know, we got Flash Funk's entrance, we got Vince dancing along, we got the London clips, we got, you know, Shawn Michaels' horrendous shirt, we got JBL smashing the singer.
It's hard for me to give a thumbs down when Jesse Jamis sings to the ring.
This is true. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. Now, I want to let you know that I've decided to do a little something different here at Inside the Ropes because I know that our free feed is busy enough as it is. So what we're going to do is, as of TLC, our pay-per-view reviews are going to be exclusive to Patreon, apart from Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam. They will always be available for free, but like on Monday or Tuesday, hopefully Sandra and I will get a chance to get together just for like half an hour, 45 minutes to talk TLC, and we'll put that on Patreon for you lovely people to listen to. We'll be back next week as normal with the SmackDown summary, the Raw rundown, the Retro Raw rundown, and all the usual stuff. I apologize from my end for not having more Patreon content up this week. It's been the week of the Matt Hardy tour. I hope you will forgive me. Sandra, thank you for taking the reins this week and being on two shows. I appreciate it.
Oh yeah, it was fun. I was glad that it was a good week of Raw and not a bad week of Raw where I was just like, I don't want to watch this show because I kind of dreaded it a little bit. But But it was good.
I can imagine.
And I enjoyed it. And David and I had a blast.
There you go. So Sandra is going to go off and watch Shikara. I'm going to have an afternoon nap because I'm 96 years old. And we will be back next week. I'm going to, I hope to see a lot of you tomorrow at the sold out Glasgow Classic Grand for Broken Matt Hardy. And then I hope to see some of you in Cork Island on Monday for the last show of the tour. Thank you very much for all your support, whether it's Patreon, listen to podcasts, coming to shows. You make a Scottish guy, two Americans, and another Scottish guy who comes in now and then very, very happy. So thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, Flash, you are so funky.